Welcome to Animal Talk, the show about connections between animals and people. I'm Joanne Rideout. This month on Animal Talk, we'll be taking a look at an unusual and rewarding profession, equine-assisted therapy. That's therapy using horses. We'll be talking with Michael Limbacher, a lifelong horsewoman, a championship rider and trainer who currently lives in Clatsop County, Oregon. She's also a musician, a potter, and a therapist, but horses have always played a huge part in her life. Michael has brought her interests together in the field of equine-assisted therapy, working with horses to help people get well. For those who choose to experience this kind of therapy, it's contact with horses, and that can mean riding them, caring for them, or just standing near them. And it can have very beneficial and healing effects, helping both children and adults in ways that seem due to the almost magical presence of the horses. I spoke with Michael in the barn at her Brownsmead farm, where she lives with her husband, her horses, and various other charming pets.
My name is Michael Limbacher.
And you have lived here in Brownsmead for about 7 years so far?
About 8 years, yep. 8 years.
So tell us a little bit about you. You've been around horses most of your life, it sounds like, from what we were just chatting about. So tell me a little bit about your background with horses, and how did you end up with horses such a central part of your life?
Well, it would be really unlikely since I was born into a military family that traveled around. But I always loved horses. It was the first word I ever spoke. All I wanted was a horse. I used to bargain with everyone in ways to get a horse. And my first horse came about in a kind of funny way. My grandfather told me that I could ride his steers. I didn't need a horse. And so, of course, they bucked me off every time I tried to ride them. But on the 1,000th try, one of them let me ride him. And at that point, I started riding him all around the neighborhood. And one of the neighbors came down with a beautiful little horse and said, I'm not going to watch that little girl ride that cow around the neighborhood. So that was my first horse. And since then, I've always managed to have a horse in my life until adulthood by working deals, negotiating anything to have them into my life. But when I became an adult, I was able to really work on my education with horses. So I studied dressage both abroad and here. And I went to Arabian horse judging school because I was really taken by Arabians in the first part of my career with horses. I had an Arabian horse breeding farm called Morning Sun Farm. I traveled all over showing my horses. I became very much enamored of reining competition, which is to me dressage fast. And
so can you explain what reining is for people who might not know?
Okay, reining is a Western school of thought, and it has to do with certain maneuvers that are used in working cattle, but it's put together in routines, and you compete on how well you perform those tasks. And it has to do with, you can only do it, perform it with a very well-schooled horse that you've spent a lot of time with and built in small steps from the bottom to the top to wherever what you think that horse carries out. And the maneuvers are things like flying lead changes on figure eights, sliding stops, rollbacks. It just demonstrates your control, you know, with the horse and your ability to work as a team. And there are other schools that work along with it, cutting and, you know, stock classes, working cattle. So it's different from English-themed riding, which I adored, of course, but it had a lot more action to it. And I took an Arabian stallion named Behabu Galazon, which I started training as a reining horse when he was 10 years old, and won an Arabian Horse National Championship with him. And then I showed him out among open reining competitions and won quite a bit of money against futurity quarter horses in open reining. And that was about 30 years ago. I hate to admit it, but that's how long ago it was. And I also at that time became certified by NARA as a handicapped riding instructor.
NARA, that's N-A-R-H-A, is the North American Riding for the Handicapped Association. It's a nonprofit that was founded in 1969. NARA began with a focus on horseback riding as a form of physical and mental therapy. Therapists use the horses as partners to work with cognitive and behavioral issues, and the group has programs that also work with war veterans and other military personnel. As Michael and I stood in her barn talking, one of her horses kept putting its head over the side of the paddock and resting it on Michael's shoulder, and occasionally the horse sniffed my microphone or took the microphone wire in its mouth. She's a young horse, just 7 months old, and she was acting a lot like a really cute, furry little kid trying to get our attention. Also at some point, you'll hear one of their barn cats, who was also trying to get in on the act, meowing in the background.
Over the years, I've just attended many, many clinics and instructions. I began teaching. I still travel and teach workshops. I kind of developed my own style of horsemanship that I call the Zen of riding, Zen of horsemanship. I've been a Buddhist for a really long time, so I'm going to kind of work that in there. And I love to just help teach people how to form meaningful partnerships with their horses. And I love the fact that I can utilize them in a way to help people.
So how do you, like you were certified in handicapped, mm-hmm. what does that mean? And how do horses help people?
Well, on that level, as a handicapped riding horse, which now they don't even use that phrase, they would call it therapeutic riding. Anyone who's physically challenged or mentally challenged, horses, well, all animals are intrinsically therapeutic to humans for one reason or another. With horses, 200 years ago, they started using them in Europe for hippotherapy, which is horse in Latin therapy. Very basically, when human beings start to walk, they stimulate a part of their brain that causes cognitive development. It aids in speech and balance and just all, you know, versions of cognitive development. And they used to tell a story about how Glenn Doman, who was a researcher in brain development in children with epilepsy, would talk about the fact that babies that are rocked are more highly intelligent, more balanced in their life, and it's that walking motion. Well, when you put someone who has never been able to walk on a horse or who's recovering from a traumatic brain injury or spinal cord injury on a horse, and then you have that movement, it simulates that exact same kind of motion as walking. So just on a purely physical level, the physical motion, the warmth of their bodies, utilizing that, it stimulates a part of their brain that not only helps their balance and their healing and even their centers of speech. I've seen people that have never spoken after a very short time working with them with horses they're motivated to speak also, start saying, whoa, and, you know, grow an ability to speech. So just on a purely physical level, they're very therapeutic without any additional effort from them. They, you know, and that's the beauty of it. They don't do it intentionally. They're just being themselves.
Well, we're standing next to a couple of really pretty adorable horses right here. Can you tell us a little bit about them? We're in your barn right now.
Yes, we're in my flooded barn. And we're looking at my Warlander mare, which for you horse people, if you haven't heard of a Warlander, it's like the National Show Horse in that a National Show Horse is a combination of American Saddlebred and Arabian. Warlanders are a combination of Andalusian and Frisian. They have to be at least three-quarters and not more than at least half and not more than three-quarters of one or the other. And they're black and beautiful and big, mm-hmm. and gentle, and right now they're grooming each other.
Yeah, kind of chewing each other's butts, for those of you, who can't see the miracle of radio. So this is something that horses do for each other.
Yes. It's a mutual grooming, and it's both a social activity and a practical one, too, because they are scratching their itchy places, and they show each other where they want to be scratched by scratching on that spot on the other horse, and so they reciprocate. One of the wonderful things about horses is that being a herd animal, they have a really complex social hierarchy. And they're not verbal. I mean, they have some verbalizations that they do. We've all heard them. But they have a lot of expression in their face and a lot of body language. So they communicate with each other very well. And they look for a very strong leader. And if you're not that strong leader, they will become it. So humans are always trying to bridge that gap as being predators between not behaving as a predator and asking our horses to not behave so much like a prey animal. And when you're able to bridge that gap, you have a partnership. So.
One of the things we were talking about before I turned on the microphone was about sort of the person who is kind of a horse person. Mm-hmm. Like some people sort of get it and some people don't. So what's that all about? What kind of a person is a horse person?
You know, I bet there are a million theories about it. Maybe they were horse people in every lifetime they've had. Speaking personally, when I talk to people, and as I told you before, if they ask me what it is about horses that I love, I know that they don't have whatever that mysterious thing is. All I can say is that I think horse people are born with just this love and this connection to them, and they probably couldn't explain why it exists. You know, starting from watching cowboys on TV or, you know, where it came from. But it's pretty driving, and if you're infected with it, it takes over your life, and you just have to hope that the people that are in your life are supportive of it, and or it can be a lonely road, too.
Well, now, you are right now going to school and also engaged in doing therapy with horses now.
Right.
So can you tell us about what that means and what you're doing now and why someone might come to you if they needed therapy?
Okay. Well, about 10 years ago, I was working with children and with some adults too, riding, training, I realized that not only was it physically therapeutic, but it was really psychologically therapeutic also. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, oh, you know, you could use horses in a psychotherapeutic application also. And I started looking for it online and realized I wasn't the one that invented it. There were a few people at that time doing it. Now, if you do an internet search, you'll find that there are literally thousands of people doing it and using horses. I'm going to school right now at one of the first flagship programs. Well, I'm just finishing up a second degree in, this one is in psychology and counseling, and I'll be starting in September a master's degree program in equine facilitated psychotherapy. So you can use it in all kinds of therapeutic applications, from couples counseling to anxiety disorders. I'm just trying to think of, you know, in almost any way that you are willing and feel the connection and the ability to make it work with the horses. I also use them for team building workshops and with corporations and companies and in leadership trainings with companies and their staff. And they're great for that because, like I said, you must be a leader in order to work with them. So you can work out a whole routine and a whole day of events with them and instruction, and the horses mirror you and they mirror your attitude, and we're kind of laid back. They're kind of digging it right now. And so that's a very useful tool. If you're able to utilize the tools of leadership, you will be successful with the horses. There's no way around it. It works that way.
So say if I were to say, oh, Michael, I need some therapy. Can I come and have a session with you with your horses? What would it be like?
Well, first of all, I'd invite them to just come over and just like we are right now and stand and talk. Or I may invite you to another arena that I use a lot, which is out in Youngs River. And we would just talk about what your goals were and what you were experiencing. I would use scales that have already been invented but are in my head for measuring what kind of problem you're having and whether or not that was something I should get involved with. If it was a mental thought disorder, something that was very serious and required medication, then I would have to just decide if I had the animal or the experience or the ability to work with you aside from that. But usually it's going to be for people that are more general psychological problems that we all go for counseling for.
Can you give us an example of somebody who has been helped by a session like that, you know, with a psychological problem?
Sure. Someone who has anxiety will come. And anxiety is really instead of a disorder, it's really a hypersensitivity of our sympathetic nervous system, how we respond to stress. And that could be a whole, you know, story in itself. And so learning to diffuse that reaction. So if you're fearful and if you have that fear, flight or fight response, it really works well to build someone's confidence and their confidence in their ability to control those those reactions with their mind and with certain physical motions and movements. And I use a combination of the horses, if they're willing to use the horses, they might not be right at first, with behavioral and cognitive restructuring, Tai Chi, which I also teach Tai Chi, and I do barn Tai Chi where people can come around the horses and learn Tai Chi, and it's great. It's very much fun. But we would work with the horses, first of all, just being comfortable with them like we're doing right now, grooming, weeding, working to the point where they could get on the horse. I gauge it according to them, what their comfort level is, always pushing it a little beyond their level of comfort as soon as they're good with that. And, it's not very somewhat different than anybody that's riding or working with horses.
And so then what is it about the horses that, what are they, there's a horse, you can't have that microphone, why are you, sweetie? What is it about the horses that allows them to help? I mean, they obviously bring something really important to it.
There have been experiments done about horses' psychic abilities. Okay, I don't want to sound really airy-fairy, but for instance, they'll go to a racetrack stable where there are rows and rows and rows of stalls with horses, and they'll feed horses at an inappropriate time when it's not a regular feeding time, way at one side of the barns, and yet the horses many, many rows away will start to exhibit feeding behaviors. Horses have very specific feeding behaviors. And I think it's probably an ability that's intrinsic to every creature on this planet. And we're too pragmatic a lot of times to buy into it in ourselves and in other creatures. But I have seen horses. I had a Arabian stallion that was a very, very rambunctious animal. And a lady with a traumatic brain injury walked up to that horse, wrapped her arms around him, and he very gently walked her around the paddock. And he became a great healing helper to her. They just had a connection. And just like we experience connections with different people, we experience the same thing with them. They're as unique in their personalities as any other people or species on the planet. And they also, how when you're around a person that their energy just makes you feel so good. Well, horses are that way too. Some of them are not good healers. But some of them have just a great healing energy about them and a very nurturing energy. And it just being with them and feeling it and putting your hands on them. And a lot of the exercises have to do with trusting them, hugging them, having that close, close connection, and also opening yourself to the experience, you know.
You have four horses here. Mm-hmm. Now, we just talked about these two that were standing right next to it, but there are two others down there in the other part of your property. So Tell us about those two.
Those are Missouri Foxtrotters, and Missouri Foxtrotters are a really unique American breed of horse. And they were developed to be able to work cattle in the Ozark Mountains, to be very sure-footed and yet have very comfortable gait. They're very people-oriented. They were bred to be that way. They are very gentle in nature, but they have a lot of stamina. They're comfortable for people with back injuries, any kind of physical disability. You could drink a cup of tea when you're riding along on one of the horses. It's so smooth and wonderful. And these guys, one of them was born here on the farm, and the other was a many times champion stallion, and he's now a gelding, and he's working in a healing and instructing capacity. And he loves it. You know, he's happy to be able to do that.
So now, these are all of these horses that you use or will use with clients?
Yes, absolutely. And I do a lot of training and instruction with people that just want to improve their horsemanship skills. And it's really nice to have horses that are multi-purpose, that can be used in that capacity. Or I work with them in their own horse. But yes, each and every one of them. I have two clients with fibromyalgia that work with a horse that I don't even ride yet. I haven't even started riding. But the exercise of brushing, combing, leading, They have progressed. They say it really helps their pain level, their range of motion, their confidence, and mostly their attitude, their optimism. It gives them hope when they think they really can't do things, that they actually can.
Well, this seems like a really unusual job choice. It's not the kind of thing that you could look at, like, in the want ads and find. So how, I mean, I guess because of all of your experience with horses, you came around to know and understanding that this was a career?
Yes, and when I started looking for a job, I've been self-employed with horses, pottery, music, my whole life. And when I decided to go to work, I knew I wanted to do something in the helping profession that was more about other people than it was about myself. And like I mentioned before, I am totally aware of how therapeutic horses are, and there's always a standing joke among horsemen that when people complain about the expense, we always say, well, they're cheaper than a therapist. And so utilizing them in a therapeutic fashion seemed really, really appropriate. But I also do work with individuals in helping professions. I worked at Job Corps running their art department and music, and I managed 3 homes for developmentally disabled people. I'm aiming for just working with the horses in a therapeutic and teaching environment.
And you're in a degree program right now. And what is that degree program?
That degree is a flagship program in equine facilitated psychotherapy. And I'll have licensure, which is really great, because one of the problems with this is the people that really need the help can't afford it. And I'm not wealthy enough to be able to do it free. I'd love to be able to do that. That would be great. So in order to, I realized that if they could build their health provider, that it would really increase my ability to reach people and their ability to access it too. So that's why at this point in life, I find myself back in school.
Wow, that's really terrific. Yeah. Seems like such a wonderful thing. Now, one of the people, the way that I met you was mm-hmm. through Jessamine West, yes. who is a horse massage therapist. And so I interviewed her about her work, but I've never talked to anybody who's actually had their horse have a massage. And you mm-hmm. are one of her clients. So what does it do for your horses to have them have a massage?
Oh, it's amazing. And Jessamine, you know, works, is certified in 3 different levels of massage, maintenance, performance, and rehabilitative. And I'm not sure those are the exact terms. But she worked on one of my horses who came back from Colorado with an injury to her hip. And just in even one session, I was amazed that she came to the same conclusion about where the injury actually was, because sometimes that's very difficult to determine. And in making a connection with the horse who did not want anybody to touch her in any of the areas that were bothering her. And it was also instructive as far as what I could do to continue on with that. Hmm. Jessamine's a great gift to the horse community here. And she travels around the world. She's international.
Michael's skills extend beyond therapy. She also does a gentle form of martial arts that involves horses.
And I also do Tai Chi. I teach Tai Chi out, and I'm not teaching very frequently in the community because, really, I only have time to go to school and work right at the moment. But we will be having barn Tai Chi. And Tai Chi attracts animals and animal energy. So when you do it around the horses or any animals, you'll find that you cannot get rid of them. They're there just soaking it up with you. And Tai Chi is a very healing art also. So that's another aspect to it that's really fun.
Wow.
To work with.
So we're looking, one of the things we were talking about before we started recording was kind of the challenges of having horses in a really rainy environment like Oregon,
yes.
like this part of Oregon.
Yes.
So what are some of the challenges? I mean, I see pools of water here
all over
the place. So what is it like on the coast to have horses?
Well, it's really important that if you have horses on the coast that you're on high enough ground that you do not have standing water. And we're probably standing on one of the lowest points in Oregon as far as elevation. So if I couldn't have chosen a worse place to move my horses to. Unfortunately, we're so close to the river and the elevation is so low that our land on the island part of Brownsmead is all drained by drainage ditches, And they back up. It's backed up into my arena. And for that reason, we are really looking for another place to find to be able to carry out the program. And I really visualize a healing kind of center for horses and people, where horses can be healed also. So,
and so you're hoping to do that in this area near Astoria?
Yes, I am. I'm working out of Youngs River Ranch, out of their arena with Patty Barnett. And I've worked there for a couple years, on and off with more frequency, depending on my ability to do that. But we've decided that starting next month, I'll be doing a drop-in class for 2 hours on Saturdays that anyone is welcome to attend, bring their horse, haul in. The first hour will be groundwork with your horse. The second hour will be horsemanship riding. And we'll also, I will book clients for that day to work with the horses. So I'll dedicate one whole day a week for the next couple months until I am solely doing this to working with clients.
If you'd like to learn more about Michael Limbacher and her work in equine-assisted therapy, you can contact her by phone at 503-458-7200 or by email at Islandia Farm, that's Islandia Farm, at msn.com.
And we would talk about it. We would talk about what their needs were, and they could come over just like we're doing and visit with the horses and just see what the connection is.
I have to say that I'm also one of those people who feels a mystical bond with horses, although I couldn't explain it to you if you asked me. It's just something I feel. While I was preparing to produce this show, I happened to browse through a book of poetry by John O'Donohue called To Bless the Space Between Us, and I came across this poem called To Learn from Animal Being, which seems to sum up the special bond that many of us feel with animals of all shapes and sizes. Nearer to the earth's heart, deeper within its silence, animals know this world in a way we never will. We who are ever distanced and distracted by the parade of bright windows, thought opens. Their seamless presence is not fractured thus. Stranded between time gone and time emerging, we manage seldom to be where we are, whereas they are always looking out from the here and now. May we learn to return and rest in the beauty of animal being, learn to lean low, leave our locked minds, and with freed senses feel the earth breathing with us. May we enter into lightness of spirit and slip frequently into the feel of the wild. Let the clear silence of our animal being cleanse our hearts of corrosive words. May we learn to walk upon the earth with all their confidence and clear-eyed stillness, so that our minds might be baptized in the name of the wind and the light and the rain. I'm Joanne Rideout, and you've been listening to Animal Talk, the show about connections between animals and people. Until we meet again, take some time to appreciate the animals in your life. They're special beings who enrich our lives in so many ways.